kind of guitar is that you got back there?
Oh, this is a Tanglewood. It's not a very well-known make, but I got this from my friend a couple of days ago. I absolutely love the sound of it, and he was selling it. So I'm a guitarist many years.
All right, that's cool. This is a K. It's
Oh,
made in the
lovely.
20s, actually. It was
Wow.
I was a state legislature lator in Nashville, and from the Knoxville area, a representative. I was there for 16 years, but my dad had that, and it had been converted it into a birdhouse. So they drilled a hole, ended up there, and then made it into a birdhouse. But it had fallen apart, and I took it to a famous guy in Nashville who did a lot of things for like Platt and Scruggs and a
Right,
bunch of the
right.
classic people that, a lot of their stuff gets burnt up in cabin fires and everything else. And they, and I took it. He was wearing bib overalls, and I don't think he's even wearing any drawers underneath it. That's underwear. And I mean, and he looked at me like it was some old storefront, and I had the address. I just kept walking by and walking by looking for it. I couldn't find it. Dadgum, I kept thinking, where is this place? And so I just shook this old door. It looked like the old brick building. It looked like, it was just, and it opened it up. And sure enough, that's where it was. And I
Wow.
walked in there, and man, it was like you could hear. I mean, it was like angels singing and all this cool old vintage stuff there. And
Oh, that's amazing.
he looked at me like I was some college boy and said, I suppose you want to restore this thing to brand new. And I said, no, sir, actually, I just want you to put it together. I like the way it looks. And he's like, $100. And I was like, boom, shake my hand,
Nice,
music
nice.
man. And so he fixed it, and there it is. I've had some pretty famous people play it when they'd come in my office in Nashville, but I don't play. I bought the book on how to learn how to play guitar for an idiot. And apparently I'm too big of an idiot to play, but anyway, I'm sorry, brother. Let's get going.
Appreciate it. So we you've been pretty outspoken on the issue of UFOs and the government's handling of it. You've been appearing on mainstream media outlets, making it known that you believe the Pentagon is actively engaged in a cover-up. And you're one of the members of Congress who received a classified briefing on unidentified aerial phenomena, which I imagine has likely bolstered your perspective on this. So first of all, is there any sort of linguistic strategy you can use to not breach your confidentiality of the classified briefing, of course, but in some way give us an indication of what was shown to you?
Yeah, I believe it's probably the largest cover-up that we've ever really encountered. I think, President Eisenhower described the military, the military industrial complex, one of his last speeches. And I think, am I centered right in this thing? I'm not sure, brother. I
Just
look okay.
slightly. There you go. Now you're nice and key. That's fine.
Okay.
Don't worry.
And I think that plays a part in all this. I think it's power, and power in politics is everything. It doesn't really matter who is in power, us or them, Republicans or Democrats. It seems like the same people are pulling the same strings. And I've been the things I've been told outside of briefings, though, from other people, is what's more compelling to me. I mean, everybody's seen the videos, the Navy pilots and some of those folks, and I've talked to people who know those pilots personally, who flew with those pilots, who you'd say would be very close to those folks, and they're very honorable people. And there's a lot of things that go into that, whether it was in that, everybody's seen the video, the so-called Tic Tac video. I think there's been a progression of cover-ups since Roswell, and maybe before then. We've had If there's a there was a sighting in Texas in the early teens, 19 something, and it might have been predated the teens, but and it described an aircraft, and it literally came in and hit a windmill or something of that sort, and and it was described as, and everybody, people say, well, that's probably an airplane. Well, there weren't very many airplanes in the teens. I mean, we've just there's documented history of this. And this little blip we're seeing now is just it's just confirming what other people think and know. Now, there's a lot of questions that go into it. The areas that it was sighted were areas that the military would frequent. So is it a military? I guess there's two trains of thought. Is it a military craft? And is so, it has to be what we call the skunk works or the dark money or whatever. And if that is the case, why isn't our military using? Sorry, I've got dogs, and they hear they're after a spider or a bug. I'm sorry if you can hear that. I apologize. No. Love my dogs, but anyway, it's either that or it is something that is outside of our planet. And I'm a Christian. I don't know your religious faith or anything, but I read my Bible. And the first chapter of Ezekiel, I would encourage everybody to read that. And you have to realize the first chapter of Ezekiel is a book that was written, and it was rewritten in your all's King James version. King James basically authorized it to be written. So when it was originally written, the most intelligent or the most advanced technology you had was in fact a wheel, and they describe would consider a traditional saucer. And the landing craft and how it landed and what it was doing and all they could attribute it to in their words. And then it was translated in King James Version. So there's historical documentation of something out there. And I think in all of God's universe, you know, I go out at night and look at the stars and just the vastness of the universe and the light that we're seeing from these stars left those stars before the time of Christ. I mean, you know, the vastness of God's universe is just, it's beyond what we can put our hands around or our minds or our limited minds around. And Billy Graham was quoted as saying, and I'm not sure if he has, I need to document this, but he said he was a great American evangelist. And he said, if you think we're the greatest that God can do, you hold God in very low esteem because it's, you know, we're not,
it's a big, big universe out there. It's a
big universe, dude. But I've been told about things and shown things, and some I'm not at liberty to talk about, and some I am. But the reality is that there is something out there, and there is a cover up. And now we're going into the hearings, and what's brought all this to a head, and myself, because I'm basically one of the few that will actually talk about it without being, and I don't care if I'm made fun of or not. Because I think it's a cover up. I think that the government is not transparent, and I think that there's a lot of things at play here. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No problem. I was just going to ask you if there's, because you said obviously that there are things that you've been told, you know, in a confidential classified setting, and things that you've been told in a non-classified setting. So is there anything that you don't think has been really ironed out in the public that you've been told that you would like to mention?
There's some things that haven't been ironed out that I've been told that I can't tell. I mean, I wish it would be ironed out. But yeah, I think what we're going to see is in this hearing, a lot of people ask me, they're all fired up about this hearing. But my dad was an old educator. He was an old Marine in the Second World War. And my mama actually lost a brother fighting the Nazis, and she flew an airplane during the Second World War. So they're pretty much patriots. And my daddy told me one time, he said, buddy, he said, the trouble with education is that they always bring in the people to fix the problem that caused the problem.
Yeah.
And that's who we're bringing in. And that's who we're trusting. We're all jumping on the bandwagon saying, yay, they're coming forth with all this stuff. And that's bogus. What they're going to do is they'll appoint some guy who's probably, or gal, who's very honest, who is like an astrophysicist or something, that'll talk in terms that you and I won't understand. And that's partially by design. And they'll be honest. And they'll explain what they're seeing on that screen is something they can't define and they don't know. Mm-hmm. And everybody's going to go, well, you know, that's what we, and some people say, wow, they're really coming forth. They're admitting it. Well, no, yeah. They're not. They're putting somebody who does not, who hasn't had the keys to the vault, who doesn't know what's going on, but is telling the truth in their limited little world that they're speaking in their little sphere of influence. And they're not talking about, you ask about Roswell, New Mexico, they won't know about Roswell.
Yeah, it's a soft disclosure. It's a drip, drip, drip.
And Americans, and I'm guilty of this too, so I'm not just pointing the finger. We want our pizzas in 30 minutes or less, and that's about our attention span, dude. I used to say, when I was mayor of Knox County, we'd get bad news, and I'd say, boys, There'll be another wreck on the interstate tomorrow. And what I meant by that was there'll be another news story, and that'll pull us off, either good or bad. That'll pull us off the headlines. And that's exactly what they're counting on. And Washington is the king of diversions. You know, we just put $40 billion in Ukraine. Russia's entire, and then we've already done 13, so you figure there's 53 billion. Russia's entire military budget for this year is just 60 billion. So where the heck is all that money going on? And so that goes back into my other thing, into the dark ops or maybe the skunk works. And that's how
Well,
they're these huge bloated budgets, and we're paying $5 million to monitor the $60 billion, if you can imagine that. However, I'd like to have that gig, but the truth is we're being lied to, and we're going to continue to be lied to, I think. And then maybe they'll come forth and break open the vaults and show all those redacted files. But the reality is they will not do that. Can you still see
I
me?
just lost you on video, Tim. Yeah,
Okay, can you hang on one?
so do you believe that the US government has materials, possibly even recovered vehicles of non-human origin that are being studied in secrecy?
I do. I
What
do.
makes you think that?
It's just too much out there, brother. There's just too much. And they're too slow forthcoming. You know, I go back to Roswell. I know there's been others. I was in a former business. I had a the opportunity to I was in I had a trailer hitch business, believe it or not. I did some welding and stuff. I've owned businesses, and I was putting a trailer hitch on a guy's car, his Jeep, I remember, and I looked up and it said New Mexico on it, and I said, "Are you from I said, "Yo, you're from New Mexico." And I said, "Yeah." And we started talking, and this was years and years ago. And I said, I guess you've heard of Roswell." I said, "Oh yeah." He said, "My dad was in the Air Corps, and that predates the Air Force. Everybody says I'm in the Air Force. I was in the Air Force, and then and it's an honest mistake, but Air Corps." So, and they changed over. The Army had it was the Army's Air Force, and it was called the Army Air Corps. And anybody, I remember he said dad was in the Air Corps and then switched over to the Air Force. He said dad, my dad was there, and he described, and I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, tell me what'd you hear about Roswell?" And he said, "Well, what dad always thought was," and he gave a different story. He said, "There was actually two aircraft that collided in the air, and then there was other," but anyway, my point was that even that has become so clouded. And then when the United States Air Force decided to years ago, I forget, case closed, Roswell case closed. And I remember they had this Air Force guy out there, and he was fat. And I just remember, and he was a smart aleck, and he had this stupid grin on his face the whole time. And my dad and I were watching, and we're both college educated. My dad was a dean at the University of Tennessee, and we watched this thing. Because dad knew I was interested in UFOs. And dad's a good judge of people. And dad said, "Why in the world?" This is just shows you how arrogant the military is. People are concerned about this. They're genuinely have issues with it. And they get this smart aleck out here. And that's just the mentality, this arrogance that we have, so-called military intelligence, which generally is pretty lacking in my opinion. It about got my dad killed in the Second World War and a bunch of his Marines, but the and it got a bunch killed actually. But the my point is that we're not being told, and this complete arrogance that just overrides these folks. And I just don't think we're getting the straight answer out of any of it. And then they came back and said, "Well, in fact, it was balloons." And then, in fact, it was. And then, what were the little people that they found? They said, "Well, that was years later.
Just
That was
test
a dump.
dummies, just some test
That was
dummies,
test dummies," and they went through all this stuff, and it's plausible. But why the heck would they not release it then? We knew we were spying on the Russians, and they're used saying the balloons were used to spy on the Russians, and they were spying on us. Why wait till the 80s to release it? Release it, and then just this week, I'm watching a before I went to bed. I was watching a TV show, and it was basically disproving Roswell. And I thought, you know, that's very timely. And it all this nothing there is there are no coincidences in this world, brother. And I just believe, and these people are willing pawns, and they don't realize it. They just think people like myself and maybe yourself are very ignorant. And they think they're very smart. And I go back to a Bible verse that talks about professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe I know everything. I don't believe I know hardly anything. But I believe when I see something and I hear people say things that, you know, I've talked to people that have talked to folks, deathbed confessions about things that they were involved in. And I tend to believe that because they've got nothing to lose. They got no reason to lie. And you know, for years, military professionals who spotted things, they were threatened with their careers. We've had astronauts, literally one of our astronauts has seen a craft land and then it lifted up and went off. And so I tend to believe people like that after a while. And the government can't tell us the truth about anything. And I'm in the government.
Well, I agree with you on that, man. I agree with you on that. And in terms of combating the way in which this is being addressed, are you on any committees or subcommittees that would give you the opportunity to question any of the intelligence or defense officials who you believe are trying to block this process?
No, I'm on what's called Foreign Affairs and Transportation. I guess you'd say transportation could be, and Foreign Affairs, this would be really Foreign Affairs. But the truth is they keep it pretty tight-lipped and within the intelligence committee, and this subcommittee of the intelligence committee that's going to be giving this unclassified briefing. I mean, they're not going to disclose anything, brother. They'll make fun of people like me, and they'll try to just run us down, and you know, and I guess for some people that's enough to make them quit and just go back into their shell. With me, that just moves me in that direction that much farther. And two, people, and just like anything else, a lot of people are compromised, I think, in the game, in the political game, whether they go overseas and they meet some young lady at a bar or young man at a bar and they get compromised, or they do it here in this country. You know, we've got Chinese spies that are all over the place. And so I think a lot of folks are just compromised. And there, somebody whispers in their ear that maybe holds the key to their future, and they acquiesce, so to speak.
Yeah. No, this is the truth. Nobody wants to speak honestly about this situation. And I mean, you know, I can tell you that as being a British citizen. I mean, you know, for the past 4 years, you've been actively engaging as the U.S. government. You've been actively engaging on this issue, at least talking about it and addressing it. Whereas in the Ministry of Defense, you know, the Ministry of Defense just flat out refuses to acknowledge there's any credible national security concern whatsoever, and they refuse to speak about it. So I think the British are just kind of sitting back and letting you guys handle this and keeping an eye on whereabouts you're planning to make moves with it. But I think that you're absolutely right that we can't rely on these types of people. Like you said, we're relying on the people who actually instigated the cover-up to actually speak about the cover-up. And this brings me to something, because this is something that I, in our initial email exchanges, I sent you 3 pages from a series of documents that were leaked online a few years back. And the documents can be traced back to the estate of the now deceased Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell. And they're known within the research community as the Admiral Wilson leaks or the Eric Davis notes. Were you aware of these documents prior to me sending them to you?
Yeah, I'd heard about them, of course. I'm 57 years old, brother, and I've been following this phenomena since I thought I actually saw a UFO as a young child, but it was actually a jet taking off, and I was seeing the I guess the afterburners or thrusters or whatever it is. I was just looking right at it. We were up on top of a large hill, man. A couple of my buddies, one of them's deceased, and then I just started reading about it. I grabbed the magazines, I'd go to the library.
Been interested for some time then.
Sometime. And, you know, and Project Blue Book was a TV show, and
yeah.
And you know, and I remember that, and it just, it always just fascinated me. The unknown, what's the unknown, and what's right in front of me was fascinating enough, but to think there was something else out there. And I mean, I would daydream at Bearden Junior High School I can remember in 1977 sitting in a classroom, just looking out a window thinking, man, if a UFO would just fly by right now, you know, I mean, cause I was always daydreaming about what was going on. Yeah. And I never did. I've never seen anything. I don't think that most of these things that people are putting out are these floating lanterns with candles inside of them. But it's hard evidence that we've got now, those five. The only reason we're talking about this, you and I are talking about this right now, is because of this hearing and because it was leaked. It was leaked. The American military or industrial complex, they didn't want to leak that. They didn't want that out there. That's not their thing. And I think, philosophically, this may be a little too deep and maybe I'm crazy, but what would happen in the world if we realized that we were not alone, that there was beings that had incredible technology? I would say our focus would stop turning on fighting ourselves and would look at that and say, what the heck do we do now?
Well, this was Ronald Reagan's whole thing, wasn't it? You know, Ronald Reagan said exactly the same thing. Maybe this could actually bring us together as a species.
Yeah, it really could. I believe that. And then the industrial war complex and all these congressmen's portfolios that make 75% a year by knowing which missile companies to invest in, because we're getting ready to go to war, those things would dry up, and it would take the power out of this arrogant bunch that's behind the curtain that you never touch.
Do you think that there's, because this is something that's actually kind of thrown around by a few quite prominent researchers, do you think that there actually could be some involvement within the petrodollar fossil fuel industry that don't want disruptive energy systems that might be attributed to these types of technologies? Perhaps there's influence from that type of sector of the world, not just politics or defense?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's why I believe hydrogen. Yeah, you know, you can go on a lower level, hydrogen. I mean, my gosh, you crack the water, H2O. Mm-hmm. We got lakes full of fuel, and, you know, and hydrogen. Oh, it's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. It's, you know, whatever. Because remember the Hindenburg. But the reality is, if they could get that, we could literally go to the lake and fill up, and that would put those greedy SOBs out of business. Yeah. And I would love that. They would still have oil for lubrication, but reality is we can make we make some pretty good oils that are not pumped out of the ground technically. You know, some I'm a motorhead, and some of those oils that we've got now are very sophisticated, high friction, high heat capacity.
So I think it's probably fair to say that you believe that there is at least a component of the UFO issue that is representative of a non-human intelligence.
I believe it's a combination. I really do. I think we've got something. It's sort of like I used to read about the atomic bomb. Oak Ridge is in my backyard. It's technically not in. It's not in my district, but Oak Ridge, but 6,000 people that work at Oak Ridge are in my district. And I've talked to people that worked on the bomb. They didn't know they were working on the bomb. I worked on a switch, and I worked in a little compartment, and that's all they did. And they were very patriotic Americans, and they literally saved the world from Imperial Japan and fascism and National Socialism. But the truth was that they, when they created the bomb, they set it off the first time, they didn't know if it would stop. Yeah, in fact, and they didn't know if it would just consume and would destroy the world and just keep going and going.
Well, you have Oppenheimer's famous speech of, I have become death, destroyer of worlds. And, you know,
absolutely. But if you retract that, I think this technology, they don't know how to control it. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have quite, because you can't put a human in one of those crafts of whatever it is, because you'd turn into a ketchup package. Literally, those G's, it would just liquefy you.
Well, this is why they say that it might be some sort of, kind of space-time engineering. It bubbles off this craft in some sort of manipulated way so that you're essentially moving at a comfortable 1G within that environment, but outside of it, you could be zipping around and doing whatever. And the thing is, I mean, so is there maybe some legitimacy to this whole idea of no, some of this is a genuine national security interest, and you don't have the right to know because this is just simply too disruptive? Do you believe that, or do you think no, we should just have this, put it out on the table, let people make their minds up?
I believe in transparency.
Yeah.
I don't like a government that does not trust its people. I don't trust government because of the things they've done. They need it, it's just not reciprocal. I just don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. I don't think that they I think they need to be forthcoming and let us decide that. There again, that's that arrogance that you see at the press conference. When they,
Yeah,
when they're
yeah.
coming clean on Roswell, and they, when they, because that's what they're, you'll hear them, and I'm on, I mean, I've been on all kinds of talk shows, and the reason nobody else will do it because they can't take the heat, and I get that. I've been doing this my whole life, dude. I mean, when I go to Vol Market number 3 on Western Avenue, I pretty much know where I'm going to stand on election day, and when I walk into, I go to Claiborne County, or one of my little rural areas, I know where I stand. I'm not afraid of the Washington complex.
Yeah, yeah.
But guys like me never make it to leadership either. The big boys, they pat me on the head. They can't beat me. They might, if they could, they'd destroy me, which they very well might, which I've been told I need to back off just a little bit. It makes
Well,
people nervous.
on UFOs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because it's a, because folks are, they, it's stepping on some toes,
Yeah.
and but the way I was saying, I was on a on a, another t another was on a radio show, and then they started, oh, the little green man, oh, have you ever been a
Every time,
probe, have you ever been abducted? Yeah, every time, and I don't laugh, I just go, but then I quote the Bible, and I tell them, I say, in the vastness of God's universe, is this just it? And I just say, I just don't buy that. And the it says that God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
It didn't say that, it didn't say we were it. And it doesn't disrupt my belief in Christ as a Christian. It doesn't disrupt that either. I this sounds kind of funny, but a guy told me, he said, well, aliens need Jesus too. So I mean, I don't, I believe that. I believe, but so I'm not, and I'm not afraid of them either. Because you imagine at that technology, and that's like us looking down at an anthill, and how we could just crush it, then we just walk by it.
Yeah.
If they were going to crush us, they would have already done it. But let's be forthcoming to the people of what's going on around us, and let them decide. I just really think that's a key thing.
Yeah, the people can handle it. I think the people can handle it.
Sure, they can, brother.
You know,
They can.
they can. All right, well, look, I want to thank you so much for having this, having this conversation with me, taking the time out of your schedule, and I'd love to maintain some communication with you in the background, because there's a few people that I'm in contact with in the journalism world who I know are very interested in speaking with you, and
Absolutely.
I think that you're genuinely energized and pushing this forward and trying your best, and hopefully you don't get dissuaded, hopefully you don't get pressured, but it's always a possibility.
I'll get pressured, but I won't be dissuaded. All right.
Well, that's
Hey,
good to
and
hear.
can I, at some point, I'll give you my personal cell phone number.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I will.
If you
I'll.
just won't put that out, I.
Oh, of course. No, not a problem. Not a problem. I'll email you after the show and we'll see
Okay,
about that.
cool. I can give it to you right now if you'd like. If that if you can edit this part out.
All right, fantastic. Well, I'll make a note of that. Do you use Signal by any chance
I
on your
do.
phone? Okay, fantastic. Well, I can add you on Signal.
Actually, that's what people that are afraid of other things, other people looking in, I get a lot of information
Yeah,
off of
yeah.
Signal.
Well, it's not a bad little app to have, so I'll make a note of that number, and I'll speak to you on Signal. One last thing, actually, before you go, were you aware of the UFO related emails that were leaked from John Podesta by WikiLeaks?
Podesta. Yes, I was.
Yeah, yeah.
I I'd been told about that, sure.
Yeah, there's some interesting ones in there. One about specifically General McCasland, pretty high level figure. I don't know if you saw that, but there was a few different conversations through the WikiLeaks emails, and I think that's something people need to dig into more. There's not enough conversation about the fact that John Podesta was speaking to Edgar Mitchell, the Apollo 14 astronaut, and also the Blink 182 rock star Tom DeLonge, who started To the Stars Academy. And there was, I think there's one actually I've got written down here before we run off, where he's talking about, this is Tom DeLonge talking about General McCasland. And he says, he mentioned he's a skeptic. He's not. I've been working with him for months. I just got done giving him a 4-hour presentation on the entire project a few weeks ago. Trust me, the advice has already been happening on how to do all of this. He just has to say that out loud. But he's very, very aware, and as he was in charge of all of this stuff. When Roswell crashed, they shipped it to the laboratory at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. General McCasland was in charge of that exact laboratory up to a couple years ago. He not only knows what I'm trying to achieve, he helped assemble my advisory team. He's a very important man. So that's someone that I think people should be focusing their attention on, General McCasland.
And any of these people, I don't know the fella from Blink 182. I'm a country music guy. So, if it was Hank Jr. or something, or Lynyrd Skynyrd, some southern rock band. But if they were to ever come in contact, if you were to give them my numbers, I don't follow their music, and I wouldn't, but I would, I probably would if I, if since I've, he's, you're the second person to mention his name. And
well, do you know Lou Elizondo and Christopher Mellon and these
yeah,
people?
I know Lou.
They all came from the To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science. That was that kind of company that got set up before they left that. And that was Tom DeLonge's company. So this Blink 182 rock star, it's a very interesting story because he was the one that basically was going into government and trying to find people to speak to about UFOs. And he coalesced this team, people
Yeah.
like Lou, people like Chris, and then they've moved on into Congress and done other things. But Tom was speaking to John Podesta early on, saying, look, I've got these high-level contacts, they're talking to me. And General McCasland was one of those contacts. And by the sounds of it, he is extremely knowledgeable and perhaps has direct relation to the technological acquisition and the programs that have been hidden away from us. So for if any senators or congressmen are tuning into this, keep that in mind, General McCasland.
Got it. Thank you, brother.
All right,
I
man. Well,
appreciate you,
we'll be in
Jay.
touch, Tim.
If you ever come to Tennessee, man, you are Washington, you holler at me. Where are you in England?
I'm in Nottingham.
Nottingham. Okay, right on. All right. Well, someday maybe I'll visit. We could hook up. I'd
Oh,
love to visit
absolutely,
with you,
man.
brother.
Absolutely, man. I really appreciate it. You take
And if you
care
ever
and
come to America, the States, and you're anywhere near Tennessee, brother, you can stay with me. I got a 60-acre farm, and you can just play with the horses or
sounds good to me,
go
man. We'll sit
whatever,
down,
brother.
sit down on the porch and talk UFOs.
I would love to into the dark of the night because it's at, there's no light pollution out here where I live.
Oh,
It's so
amazing, amazing.
it's my I love I can't wait till like we had a meteor shower not long ago and it was spectacular.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, Tim, I'll definitely take you up on that offer if I find myself out in the States.
Right on. Thank you, brother.
All
God
right.
bless you, man. Keep at it.
Bless you too.
Let's get them.